Let's go to Isaiah 1. I sound like I'm in a terrible mood, but I'm really not. I was hearing myself talk. I scare myself.
You sound normal.
Well, I've been looking for this or that, and I haven't seen it. So.
Starting in verse 2, Isaiah 1, verse 2. It's right after Psalms. Well, reasonably kind of after. Thank you, Jenny. Wouldn't know what to do without you. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour it, and your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a seed, is what it should say, we should have been as Sodom, and we'd have been made like unto Gomorrah. We should have been made like unto Gomorrah. Until you see that, none of this stuff will ever make any sense.
So this is the spiritual meaning of
leprosy.
Leprosy. I mean, he might as well have said, instead of all that, you know,
wounds and bruises,
you all are lepers.
That's right.
That's what he's saying. The wounds and bruises and putrefying sores.
Poetic.
Oh, yeah. In 7, it's what the tearing down the walls and burning it with fire, the whole thing that was the...
Right. Okay, now let's go back to... Let's go to Leviticus.
What does Leviticus mean?
Law.
Just law.
Rules.
Rules, better stated.
Doesn't it have something to do with the Levites?
Yeah. But...
Priestly stuff, maybe.
Yeah, that's better, priestly stuff. But... I don't want to... Yes, I do. I want to dwell on it a minute. I want us for a split second of time to see how fortunate we are. I want that love and mercy of God that has been, and the revelation that has been revealed unto us, penetrate you a minute. I mean, there's thousands of people, millions of people, that to say they study this book, they have no idea what it means. All this stuff is just dismissed as something that happened in the Old Testament. And it's almost as if I can hear God crying out to you, you know, how long are you going to consider me lightly? I was thinking about the 16 names of Jehovah, and I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to you. You know, how often have you today, how often have I today paid more attention to carnality, i.e. sensory perception, than Jehovah Jireh, I am the Lord that healeth thee, or Rafika, or any of the others, I am the Lord that supplies, I am the Lord, I am the banner. How many of you insisted on your own way or had some other banner? How many of you felt rejected when one of your your own ridiculous, idolatrous banners was cut down. How long? Faith has got to begin operating in your life soon. Faith says that you pay more attention to who he is than your sensory perception. There's no part of your life that he has been excluded from in your revelation. And yet you continue determinedly on in your own ways. Still seeking after the unrighteous mammon, self-seeking. Wanting to be different, wanting to change your place. What more could he have done? He's done everything. Faith is an action verb. One of the ways it's revealed is in tithing.
That's the second time I've heard that today. Faith is an action verb. Tell me that faith then. In the Old Testament, what is that definition then?
Well, faith.
Because I thought I knew it, but if I've heard it twice today and I've had to think about it twice today, maybe I need to hear it.
Well, somebody a long time ago made up a little thingy that says it's the ABCs of faith. Faith is action based on belief with confidence. But it's an action that energizes, that I've told you before, we've spent so much time talking about waiting on the Lord. And I've told you before that if you wait on the Lord with the mind of a Gentile, you'll die. And that's why God has been patient with us. Because many of you, I mean, you're still waiting on the Lord with the mind of a Gentile. And how the definition of that mind of the Gentile is that you're still self-seeking in the name of God.
Are you saying you're waiting... Instead of going on the knowledge and the belief that you have, you wait for something to happen or wait for a particular revelation.
Right.
Or you don't take a risk.
You don't walk in the light that you have.
Yeah.
And hear me, I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to you. Then your next question should be, well, or probably is, well, what should I do? Well, that's the evidence you've got the mind of a Gentile.
I keyed in on what you said about how many people, you know, read this and don't even have the foggiest idea of what it's talking about. I've been reading lately some stuff from the Talmud. I mean, it made me, you know, sympathize with what you have to dig through, you know, to find even a kernel of truth. Because these rabbis, I mean, they get off on such bizarre, silly things. They don't even know, you know. I mean, occasionally, like you say, if you sift through it, there's kernels.
Yeah, I think I've averaged it out. You have to read 300 pages of that ultra fine print to get one 4 or 5 word sentence of value. But it's worth it because it provides the setting for, and it gives life to the New Testament. But well, that's the, remember what I said about the book of Leviticus? Its function is to cut you in little pieces. because it cut Jesus in little pieces so that we could see him. So the book of Leviticus's function is to cut you up. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any sacrificial knife. It cuts even to the point of where soul and spirit meet. And it cuts down to the point where it separates the marrow from the bone. And it's a discerner of the innermost thoughts and intents of the heart. So no self-seeking can be, it just explodes. The book of Leviticus is the book of access. That's why it's so vital that we understand it. It's the book of access to God. And the offerings that Christ made, which permitted the access to be so complete and so open to us, we see in his perfection, and we discern his body. Then we can begin to take communion and eat the bread and discern his body. Instead of this poor me bullshit. For once in your lives, begin to live for someone else. How much of your efforts in the last 3, 4, 5 months have been spent finding Doug a job? How many times are you going to continue to hear need? You have the access to the need in your hands, and you still say, God, give it to us. But I'm serious. Begin to prefer the other's interest over your own.
Amen.
And it's a matter of just breaking through those walls. Do you believe, I mean, if we as a body spent 1 week in a combined effort for Doug, do you think he would have a need? But no, we're waiting on God.
We don't express them for the same reason, I think, to express the need, because we are waiting on God, or we don't think, you know, we don't really think it'll be met in here.
Isn't Doug's need really our need to, anyway?
Man. And as all God requires is us for to see is that, then the body, it's not even possible. I can't even say it. It's impossible for the body to have a need.
Is that given certain conditions of operation of the body? I mean,
no.
Like if the body were functioning as it's supposed to, there's no such thing as a need. But if the body's in lethargy or
then
doing nothing, then that's.
But that's the point. Then that act, that's what reveals, I mean, that's what it needs.
Right. I wrote something last night about need, but I didn't finish it. I was going to bring it and read it, you know, but I didn't get it to a point where I thought it was finished. But I, you know, mostly I was thinking about Elizabeth, the baby, you know, what need reveals, you know, it's like, you know, and I'm have done this a lot, you know, I mean, we spend so much time and all of our energy really to avoid being in need, you know, mm-hmm. and as a society, you know, as people, as Americans, whatever, I mean, you know, we do everything we can to insulate ourselves from other people that are in need, from, you know, I think about the way even my own parents have responded to my situation. I mean, it freaks them out for me to be in need, because, you know, the idea is that you raise your child, you know, you get them up until they're 21, and then they don't need you anymore, and you know, you,
Right.
And, you know, but then I saw what I was seeing, and I you know, I don't like, you know, framing it in this way or something, because it makes me think of a lot of fanatics, but I was just thinking about what a sad thing abortion is, because, you know, people don't want to deal with babies because they need you.
Man.
I'm
going
to give up, Amy.
Man. Hallelujah. Now we're ready to read Leviticus. John?
Or 15:1?
14:1.
Well, we read all that, didn't we?
Just read. You probably read ahead, John.
No.
Go ahead and read.
Okay.
Well, actually, no one will do it, but I'll ask you to anyway. In your spare time, reread Leviticus 13, because it's also about this. But.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. The priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water.
What does all that mean? Running water, earthen vessel.
And he shall sprinkle upon
him.
Well,
wait a minute.
It's heavy duty.
What are the birds?
That's the spirits, devil spirits.
No. This Which birds like are these?
Turtle doves.
A turtle dove.
This is kind of like the goat for Azazel and the goat
Same
for
thing.
Jehovah.
It's two birds. And it's the reason it's two birds instead of two goats is a long, complicated typology, which I won't get into tonight. But suffice it to say, when Christ was speaking, when he said, now you are clean, you know, he said, well, you're cleansed. Let's go there. Hebrews, when is it? Let's go to Hebrews 10. Well, no. First go to Ephesians 5.
Yeah, would it be too complicated to go through those little things that do the clean animals that chew their cud twice and what all that kind of stuff?
No, I don't want to do that.
Yes, it would be too.
We're
going to
get a chart on that.
John, weren't you going to make a chart on that?
I probably will eventually.
Ephesians 5. This is all you guys, the married people's favorite, married women's favorite stuff. 5:22. Wives, submit.
Amen.
Yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That refers directly to that ceremony where the two turtle doves are killed in running water in an earthen vessel.
But when you said that, I thought about that as Christ loved the church, and I thought about at the crucifixion when there was not one with him.
Nah.
And I always think about, you know, when if there's an argument, you know, that about getting my point across, and but there was not one with him, and he didn't open his mouth, and it wasn't at all the way that I.
Man, he wasn't trying to prove anything. Hebrews 10. This also refers to this ceremony. Shut up, Tyson.
That one said, though, that love was what did it. Love was the real fulfillment of that washing water stuff. Because
all we're doing right now is looking at the types and how it's completed in the New Testament.
She's troubled tonight, isn't she?
She's becoming the East Dallas bitch.
The love has to do with the giving himself for it.
So that he might sanctify.
In other words, giving himself for it included this acting
he became,
out of this sacrifice.
He was both the offerer and the offered.
It wasn't just the water, it was the whole sacrifice.
Process.
See?
14. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Because in that one offering he typified, he completed all of the offerings of the Old Testament. Including this one where you have the turtle doves, all the feast types. And all our challenge is to see that as we cut apart Jesus in looking at this. Now, we're not doing it as well as we should, but and we're not doing it as well as the first understood it, but they had a lot better teaching. Okay. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. It's done. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the process. That's why it had to be in the earthen vessel. And again, it's the type. One is for God, one is for you. It's the same process in Azazel, in the scapegoat. One of the scapegoats was for God. It satisfied the just demands of God. The other cleansed your being, your innards, your groves, your other bullshit. Okay, that's why the turtle doves had to be in the earth, and they had to be killed in an earthen vessel with the water running. All right, there's probably a jillion more things, but...
The sprinkling here is in the next verse.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to yet.
Okay.
And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come unto the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows.
Does that include women too? They shave off all their hair, their heads and everything?
All of their total body.
Even all his hair shall he shave off.
Yeah.
He shall wash his clothes, and also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take 2 he-lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe-lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil.
Okay, remember, those were for a meat offering. It wasn't a sin offering. The meat offering was an offering of acceptance, just like the burnt offering was. That meant there was no sin to be dealt with. It was a savor, a sweet savor unto the Lord. And remember all the stuff we had? It had salt, but no leaven. It had frankincense, but no honey. You know, all the other stuff that we've talked about. It was totally, go on.
No meat,
even
though it was a meat offering. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering.
Okay, there's the trespass offering.
The log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot.
Okay, remember when we talked about that before?
Vaguely.
Okay.
What you
hear, and what you touch, and wherever your feet walk, and whatever your hands find to do. The blood in the ear typifies the circumcision of the ear. The blood on the toe typify. It's covered in the blood wherever you walk, then the blood and the hand typify whatever your hands find to do. Okay.
And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. The priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle of the oil with his fingers seven times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot.
Okay, now what's he done? First thing is that he had to first be a partaker of the Holy Spirit himself. The oil is always the Holy Spirit. Then he does the same thing. The fact that he's now hearing, walking, and doing is all in the power of the Holy Spirit. Covered by the blood in the power of the Spirit. Now, okay.
Which verse are you in now?
18. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed. The priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. The priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering. The priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him and he shall be clean.
Okay, stop a minute. Remember again, now we've gone through this process. There's the trespass offering, the sin offering, the wave offering, the heave offering. And don't worry about it for right now. Just for right now, I want us to concentrate. All those have been finished. They're accepted. Now comes the burnt offering and the meat offering. That constitutes an acceptance. Now, because of the efficacy of the sin and trespass and heave and wave offering, everything else of Christ, that makes your offering, the burnt offering and the meat offering, acceptable. That's why all that's required is you to present yourself the living sacrifice.
Hmm, that's
neat. Say it one more time, please.
I spaced out for a moment.
Present yourself a living sacrifice. Hmm. Then the burnt offering and the meat offering are that which is, they're the only things, the only offerings that are sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, the burnt offering is, I don't want to, I'm repeating myself. Go on.
You have to wait till next 3 years.
For no
reason.
What?
You missed it.
What?
Look at you next time.
Repeat
around.
Yourself.
That's right. I repeat yourself.
All right. It wasn't that important.
All right, here.
It's Romans 12, if you want to look at it. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Don't go look at it now.
And if he be poor.
That's the next thing.
21.
But fry out here.
Why?
You're reading so much, I can't hardly comprehend.
And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waived, to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get. And the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the 8th day for his cleansing unto the priest, under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Now, how's this different? Or are we?
This is one for the poor.
Okay, they still had to bring a lamb for the trespass offering.
Right. But
okay, okay. Okay.
This is the same thing, except just for the poor, and it's a little bit different with regard to the amount of the sacrifice.
And the priest shall pour the oil into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before the Lord.
Now stop a minute. You understand that all this is with regard to leprosy. Right? Mm-hmm. And this is all it, and we've said, and I hope you understand, that leprosy signifies heresy. Mm-hmm. Okay? Every time there is heresy in you, then in spirit, this is what Christ is doing. So that it makes it possible for you to return.
Is the left hand mean something? The fact that the blood is on the left hand, and that he's touching the all those things mean something. What John just read, right?
Well, that's what I just said. I just explained that earlier. That it's going to the ear. It goes to the ear, which circumcises your hearing. So, because spiritually, what you hear is what you see. It goes to the hand because that symbolizes whatever you do is covered in the blood. It goes to your foot because wherever you walk is covered in the blood and is part of the possession. That's first blood, and then they do it with oil. So that it's covered in the blood, but the empowerment for that walk and that seeing and that hearing and that everything is the Holy Spirit.
I swear I didn't hear you say that earlier.
The old way.
Did I just say that?
Yeah, I accepted.
I didn't hear a word of it. I mean,
you weren't here.
Neither was I.
Reason.
So the idea then, the idea of heresy, I want you to, this is all part and parcel of what it means to know the fear of the Lord. I mean, if you could see the moment, at any given moment, your state with regard to heresy, and to know the sacrifice that it required for that heresy to be covered so that it would be possible that you would be accepted back, then that's another dimension of understanding the fear of the Lord. You know, the idea that we've talked about last week, that to know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is always a feminine word in the Bible. So that wisdom is always the bride. Whenever you read in Song of Solomon or in the Proverbs or in Psalms, wisdom is always the bride. Fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom, beginning of the bride. The fear of the Lord, however, is the understanding that God is doing all things. And that, as we see and have seen in Genesis and in Exodus, that God wiped out nations, man, women, child, in order to prove a point, to keep a genetic line pure. In your case, God will wipe out anything to cause you to see with clarity. It doesn't matter if it's your wife, your kids, your pet dog. I don't care what it is. There is no thing on the face of the earth that God will not destroy in order that he would protect the seed of Christ within you and cause that seed to come to revelation. Now, when you know that, and you see the risk that you're giving to other people by your obstinacy, then you can begin to understand the fear of God. And I hope it scares the living daylights out of you. You can go to some nice, cool, nice place, Presbyterians or Methodists or something, and they'll tell you the fear of the Lord just means to hold him in awe. Yeah, right. Like you hold the stars in awe. No, that's not the fear of God.
It's like the fear of God is to see his single-mindedness.
Amen.
Nothing else.
Nothing else exists.
You know, there's right. not several points here. There's only one.
And until you begin by your life, in thought, in word, and in deed, by faith, seeing that single unit of interest, then you're of no value to anybody. Now that's why it's so vital that if you don't agree with what I say, that you argue with me. If you're sitting there saying and talking to yourself, then you will by nature listen to yourself.
Your leprosy.
And your leprosy will be manifest. I'm serious. You cannot get by with sitting there and if you in your mind are sitting there contradicting what I say to you, you're in deep shit. If you don't speak it. If it's to be spoken, great. Then there must needs be heresy so that which is true among you can be approved.
Right. Judy, tell what you said on the way to Bible study about right and wrong, and speaking what's there.
Oh, yeah. The problem comes in when you try to ascribe rightness to
your thoughts.
Anything that you have to say.
Amen.
And, or anything that anything that comes to you that you have to say, if you ascribe rightness to it or righteousness,
then you're taking a stand.
Stand, and you hold it back if it doesn't sound right to your brain, so you don't give what God has given you to speak.
Then the garment is spotted by the flesh.
Leviticus 14:29.
Here's the big
And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord.
Okay, what have we seen then? Fortunately, he didn't have to pour the blood on his head. Put the blood in his earlobe, the blood in his right hand, the blood in his big toe, and the right foot. And that,
the head doesn't need the blood.
That's right. But then he took the oil and did the same thing, but then he poured the remainder of the oil over his head. And it was remember that this was the consecration ceremony for Aaron also, when he was, and it's how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, et cetera, et cetera. It says the oil running down the beard of Aaron. Well, it's that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, one oil.
So the old way of life, represented by the ear and the thumb and the...
It wasn't an old, it was that way then.
No, I mean the old way of life with the blood means that way is dead.
Right.
I mean the
right.
blood, it's dead.
Right,
it's
the blood, the when you
the
see...
the oil empowers the new
Amen.
Thing that's happening.
Right, that's the, yeah.
Okay.
Because, and again, because they've laid hand, he has taken, when he laid hands on the offering, then that imputed the sin... to, in other words, that animal became him. And the blood of that animal, when it was shown on the offerer, signified his death. Just like when you repented in sackcloth, that was cloth made of the fur of the offered animals and ashes, it represented that he had was the sin offering and was burnt on the altar. So the cross is always, I mean, that's all we ever see in the offerings. But we see it from many, many, many different angles. But I want you to see that that every time you're in a state of heresy, that this is, in effect, the picture of what Christ is doing at that instant.
But every leper was cleansed the same. This was the process for every kind of leprosy.
Right.
The severe, unsevere was the...
Well, when they, no, I mean, if they were severe, then there was none required.
If they were totally lepers.
They didn't go through this process after they were declared?
Yeah, okay, yes.
All right.
Okay.
He shall offer the one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering with the meat offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. And this is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, It seemeth to me there is as it were a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go into it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house, and he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, green or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall.
Yeah, it's just a,
what did, in the wall?
What this, okay, it's like, it's a kind, if the best way to describe it is mildew. Mm-hmm. But it's not mildew. And what it is, it's, and you remember I talked to you about salt and the mineral salts and the different salts? One of the mineral salts is what causes the leprosy on the wall to be, and on the garment to be spread. And we'll go into that in much greater detail later. But the first sign, then they call the priest, so that, because if they don't call the priest in, if he isn't in there, then the whole house and everything in it is declared, is burnt. Well, go on, let's see.
The lower than the wall means it's eating into the wall.
Right.
But
right.
What is this really stuff? What is this stuff?
Well, it's a type of mildew. Just leave it at that.
Okay, and this was the practical thing of it was that it was dangerous to people's health.
Well, they believed it caused leprosy.
Then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city.
Okay, that's outside the camp, outside the gate.
And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of the stones, and he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house.
Okay, now, when you see, you now, you know, remember all the stuff in Peter about you are the lively stones building up the house? Well, then the house, then the other stones shall be put in their place.
And here's a connection. What about the stones that the builders rejected?
Amen.
That Christ, as the leprous, represented taking that on himself, was the stone that was cast out of the house. But, you know,
it became
a new thing.
Amen. Now, in the extra-biblical documents, there is a story about the reason that Moses, one of the reasons that Moses was kicked out in his earlier career, you know, where we told you that he, I don't have the map up, but that he, his, when he was in this, he was, his title was son of Pharaoh's daughter, which meant he was heir apparent and would be the next Pharaoh. But during his earlier years, there was a time in which he was sent to Sinai to be in charge of the turquoise and copper mines that were in the Sinai. Well, the reason he was sent there is because he had leprosy, according to the extra biblical, and according to Josephus, by the way.
That's
one.
Wow.
You got over it?
Like a type of Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But this idea of casting the stone into the unclean place outside the camp, it's just...
Amen.
And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he hath scraped the house, and after it is plastered,
then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house, it is unclean. He shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house, all the while that it is shut up, shall be unclean until the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house, after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean before the plague, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And he shall kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water and sprinkle the house seven times. He shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water and with the living bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean.
Okay, again, we have the duality. One bird for God, one bird for the house. I mean, for the house. One goat for God, one goat for the cleansing of the consciousness of the people.
This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scald, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house.
What verse are you in? I'm sorry.
55, 56. And for a rising and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy.
Was there any healing
of leprosy
about in this process?
No.
I mean, this had nothing to do with healing.
Nothing to do with healing. Leprosy never had to do with healing. It had to do with being unclean. It's two different things.
The law of leprosy.
Not in the context that we think.
They were made
clean.
But the leprosy went away.
Yeah, but right, but it's not, again, that's the tick, I mean, the spiritual meaning, it is, it's not, leprosy isn't a disease, it was a spiritual condition that was caused by uncleanliness. And the spiritual condition type now is all manner of heresies.
You know, I was thinking of, when you were speaking earlier, I was thinking, well, why isn't this apostasy? What's the difference between, you know, are we talking about just being, well, out of the faith, one way or the other, up and down, or what? And heresy. And the thing with heresy is always an outward manifestation. Right. In other words, you don't talk about, you know, heresy as just an internal thing. It's when it pops out, it's heresy.
Right.
And that's the grace of heresy is that
it's revealed.
It pops out where it can be dealt with.
It's the uncleanliness that can be dealt with. That's
okay,
good.
Okay. Let me ask a question. Whenever it was talking about this, about when you went through this, about the hand, and the ear, and the foot, is it, I know, it, you know, it seems like it has to do with everything that you touch, and you get it from what you touch? Is that, I mean, is that how this thing comes about? It seems
first,
like it defiled from without.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. No, never mind. Second Corinthians. Let's go to Second Corinthians.
In the state of denying the cross, general realizing self.
I don't know. This.
I think it's like apostasy made manifest in what you
away from
what you say, and it becomes a heresy.
Yeah, but what do you mean apostasy?
Just out of faith, you know.
Is the reason it's not a sin because it says heresies must be, and it's like it's just the way we all are if we would really let
part of the
or necessary
let it all out.
Test.
That's interesting.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 11. Well, let's start in 6:1. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain.
Did you say second?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We changed in verses.
For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now keep that in mind. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Okay, now, that gets you ready to hear the rest of this. Okay? So it's the contrast, right? Okay, now, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak unto as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now the unclean thing is the leprous thing. The leprous thing is the heretical thing. Now, what's the greatest heresy from the spiritual standpoint, from the standpoint of the cross? The greatest single heresy is to believe that flesh is clean.
Yeah.
To deny the cross is the greatest single heresy. So in the mystery, it's the unclean thing is that which thinks it's clean.
Okay, we think about the blood covering the flesh in a different way. I mean, you think about it as making the flesh pure.
No, the blood shown on the flesh indicates death.
Yeah, I didn't know when John said that or Del said that earlier. I didn't. I mean, that was kind of bizarre that it was showing forth nice. That the blood was showing forth death. Instead of life, that's you know. That's
so what did you just say?
In other words,
the greatest thing of denial of the cross is what?
Is to think you're clean.
Is to think you're clean.
Okay. So that's what it means, this next verse here, which says, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, is to get rid of the idea that you're filthy, or get rid of the idea that you're clean, or what?
Well, it's
so see your flesh through the blood. That's why you have to look at your you look at your flesh through the blood.
Yeah.
See yourself as God sees you through the.
And so that's why this cleansing has to take place in each dimension. That's and at each time it seems like
right.
Because you've polluted it.
Yeah, that's why you again. Don't. I mean, I'm sure that some of you are getting very confused, but all this means is that you run back on the mercy seat.
Yeah.
Like unclean thing, chasing the unclean thing, idols, whatever it is. I mean, that you don't see.
Well, the unclean thing is a lot of things, but it says touch not the unclean thing.
I think that's what's
in
not
context of what we're talking about tonight with regard. The unclean thing is anything that thinks it's after the flesh clean. I mean, like it's, you know what I'm talking about, all the righteousness of the flesh.
I have a little trouble understanding that.
Well.
But?
Things that are, the unclean is anything that you think is clean or.
Well, I don't want to simplify to that point. I mean, it's much more than that. Well, can I?